I'm DMA Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music by Pink Martini from their Sympathique CD. Today I feature the 20th annual A Playwrights Festival, short for Just Add Water, at Portland Center Stage at the Armory. The festival runs June 27th through the 29th. And I can't believe it. Yes, it's been 20 years since JAW has been offering this free series of readings, workshops, and lobby performances. And we'll talk with festival director and I believe founder, co-founder, Rose Reardon, and playwright Clarence Koo, whose play The Birds of Empathy will receive a stage reading. We'll also talk with promising playwright Michael Walsh about the work he and other teens have been doing at the JAW Festival. So it's a full show today. Stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts. Today we focus on new works with JAW Playwrights Festival. It's a festival for playwrights that's been going on for 20 years at Portland Center Stage at the Armory as a space for playwrights to spend 2 weeks to develop their scripts. With me in the studio are Rose Reardon, Festival Director of JAW. Welcome back, Rose.
Thank you.
And I was right, you are the founder, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, it's good to have you here. 20-year anniversary, Rose. Okay, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that. And with her is playwright Clarence Koo. Welcome to Stage and Studio.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
And promising playwright Michael Walsh. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome all to Stage and Studio. It's so great to have you here. Yeah, Rose, 20th baby, 20th anniversary. You know, the festival can go to college or is almost graduated from college now. How does that feel to you?
It feels satisfying that we're still here, still, you know, supporting new work. It's also a little scary, like a, you know, a ticking time clock of your life. But the support that we have internally and, you know, nationally is really gratifying after all these years.
Well, it's grown so much. I mean, the very first one was not as big as this.
It was in that we did four projects, but in terms of the staff and awareness, it was definitely smaller.
Well, there's a huge amount of events going around during it, too. So it is a pretty... It has grown.
Yeah, all I could manage back then was producing four plays by myself,
And that's quite a lot in of itself. So the enduring popularity has a lot to do with the variety of readings that you offer and the events that you can attend and the fact that it's free. I mean, it is all free. So how many people do you think attend each year? Have you been tracking? I know you've been tracking that.
We do track it. More than 20,000 audience members have attended every year. It's usually around 3,000 or 4,000 that come.
That's pretty amazing, actually. Yeah. I mean, it's just one weekend.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly
a lot of people to, to go through in one weekend. So looking at the schedule, it does seem like there are more events this year, though.
Well, that is Kelsey Tyler, our producer, who's the one that puts the events
the
around.
The community engagement parts of
it. The community engagement events together,
Yeah, and there's so much of that. If you want to follow along as we talk about some of the readings and events, visit pcs.org/JAW. And I also have that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. I'm DMA Roberts. In case you just tuned in, this is Stage and Studio. And we're talking with Rose Reardon, Festival Director of the 20th Annual JAW A Playwrights Festival. With me also is Clarence Koo and Michael Walsh. Clarence Koo, recipient of the 2017 Whiting Award and the winner of the 2012 Yale Drama Series Competition. And his work has been developed at Atlantic Theater Company, Oregon Shakespeare Festival, New York Theater Workshop, and Bay Area Playwrights Festival. So, hey, welcome. Have you been to Portland before?
No, this is my first time.
So I can say welcome to Portland, right?
You can. Yes, yes. This is my first time in Portland.
Well, how have you liked it so far?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
How long have you been here?
It's been a week now.
Okay. All right. So have you been out into the outer aspects of Portland?
I have. I've been... doing a daily run around the bridges and the river.
Oh, good.
I try to do like 3 or 4 miles every day.
Okay, so you're venturing out a little bit.
Yeah. And then I reward myself with a trip to a food cart.
There you go.
Right after my run. And then I'll just choose a different food card each day.
Well, you know, you've got to have some kind of, you know, reward for, yes, for all that work, especially in this heat. So your play, mm-hmm, The Birds of Empathy, is one of the featured stage readings on July 29th at 8 p.m. at Portland Center Stage. Mm-hmm. And the play is about a man who has difficulty feeling empathy. And mm-hmm, we find out later in the play why, mm-hmm, and there are very strong reasons for that. And he finds out his ex-boyfriend, though, is engaged to be married soon. His mom has mysteriously retired to Costa Rica for a year, and this man, Nathan, discovers a love for watching birds. Now, tell us more about the play, and what was your motivation in writing that?
The play came to be when I myself discovered I had a burgeoning love for birds a few years ago. And this came about when I was on a silent retreat for writers, in which we couldn't speak for 9 days. And during this time, when we were in the hill country of Texas, all I heard were the sounds of nature, the sounds of the river, but also the sounds of a lot of birds. And the sounds of birds just became my soundtrack for 9 days. And then after the retreat ended, I was speaking to one of the fellow playwrights, and he was able to identify all of the birds that we had heard. And I just thought that was the most amazing superpower. And he told me, yes, this, you know, this is something you can learn. And I made it a point when I got back to New York City, where I live, to join the local Audubon Society and learn as much as I could about the birds of New York. So I bought a pair of binoculars. I started going on bird walks with naturalists. And with them, I explored all the different parks in the five boroughs of New York City, learning about the birds that pass through. And it just like opened up my eyes in terms of seeing the city in a totally different way, and also learning about the diversity of the birds and how similar sometimes they are to people.
Well, you know, we have an Audubon Society here. Have you been there?
No, not yet.
There's a park, really nice setting, sanctuary. Mm-hmm. So, we'll talk later. So, think about that. But I was wondering, in that silent retreat, Mia Chung, the playwright, didn't happen to be there, did she?
Not.
Because she was talking about that the last time I talked about Jaws.
Oh, that's so funny. And she was not there my year. I think she might have gone the year before.
It's like there's a little like alumni.
Yeah,
there.
Yes.
So the play itself, though, I was wondering, you know, you've just described this love of birds, and it plays very much into this play throughout. And you have actually John James Audubon as a character. He's very much, you know, a poetic guy in this. Would you read a passage for us that you wrote that has Audubon as the character?
Oh, sure. I'll read a passage from the play. It actually starts off with Audubon giving a description of the mallard duck, but then it kind of morphs into a monologue by Nathan.
Oh, okay.
Who's the main character?
The main character. And this is from The Birds of Empathy.
Bill greenish yellow, iris dark brown, a ring of white about the middle of the neck. Look at that mallard as he floats on the lake. See his elevated head glittering with emerald green, his amber eyes glancing in the light. The mallard duck, the most common duck of New York. Once I received an email with the subject line, "The Mystery of Male Beauty Explained." I opened it right away. It was from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Despite my reading the email more than once, I found it did not actually explain the mysteries of male beauty, but it did point out that in birds, the male of the species is usually the more distinctive in appearance, like the mallard duck. The females are a dull mottled brown, but the males have an iridescent emerald head, crisp white neckline, and an inky side that from afar looks like the background of a winter landscape painting. Mallards form pair bonds in the fall. When spring arrives, the female lays her eggs, then the male flies away, forever, wiping all trace of her memory from his brain. Canada geese, however, mate for life. Goose partners stick together until death. Not so mallard ducks, who find a new partner every year. I used to have this book called Make Way for Ducklings, It was about Mrs. Mallard, who leads her children through the streets of the city in search of their father. Mr. Mallard is in a lake in a park, in a new nest, waiting for his family. The ducks are reunited. In real life, of course, this would never happen. After the eggs are laid, male mallards don't remain. By nature, they are absent fathers. So the book ends like a fantastic fairy tale. After my father died, my mother took that book from my room and tried to get rid of it, but I found it with the trash on our curb and rescued it. Back in my room, I read that book over and over again, The Mallard Duck.
What do the birds represent to you in your play, the Birds of Empathy?
To me, the birds represent different ways of understanding people and people's relationships to each other. So as you said, the main character, Nathan, has a hard time being empathetic and struggling to live in a world where people socialize with each other. And in birds, he finds that there's a wide variety of ways of mating, whether it's monogamous or a different partner each year. There are different ways of raising your children, whether it's raising them until adulthood or kicking them out of the nest as soon as possible. So by studying the different varieties of birds and their behavior, he's trying to figure out the right way to be a human being.
It's wonderful that you've had this opportunity to work on this play for this week and last week, right?
Yes,
so,
yes.
So what's it been like for you in this process that Rose has developed in working with playwrights?
Well, you know, it's such a magical process to have amazing actors read your work. You know, because as a playwright, you hear the play in your head, but it's never quite the same as actually having professional actors bring it to life, figuring out the relationships among the characters and figuring out who these characters are. You know, it's really essential for a playwright to hear the voices in their plays, and so that's why it's so great to have so much time to work with the actors that we have.
Well, Clarence Coo's play, the Birds of Empathy, receives a stage reading on July 29th at 8 p.m. on the main stage at Portland Center Stage at the Armory during JAW, a Playwrights Festival. And for more info, you can check out the whole schedule this weekend, July 27th through the 29th at JAW. Visit pcs.org/JAW. And I have all that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. All the events at JAW are at the Armory, and that's located at 128 Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland. And I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. We just talked with my guest, Clarence Coo, and also here is Rose Reardon and Michael Walsh. Now, Michael, you are a promising playwright.
Yes,
what
I am.
Does that mean? Tell us. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, I wasn't talking, and now I am.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So, how this all came about was at Lincoln High School, Matthew Zrebski and Clara Hillier came to teach Visions and Voices class, which was part of our theater class at the school. And they basically took us through a whole master course on playwriting. And so for, I think it's 3 weeks, every day we would write and write and write. And so at the end, if you wanted to, you could submit one of your works for consideration to be in the Visions Voices showcase, and I made it into that, and I was super excited.
Yay.
and so that happened, the Visions Voices showcase, and a little bit later I was contacted, and they were like, oh, well, we want to bring you to the next level, basically, which is the JAW Promising Playwrights. And so I was like, yes, of course. And showed up, and I guess here I am now. That's kind of how it came about.
So, well, that's exciting. What's the title of your play, and what's it about?
My play is titled Froyo, and it's a naturalist satire comedy about the exploration of 21st century sex. And specifically from the view of like two women, which was something really interesting that I got to explore because we were given actors, and so we knew who we were writing for.
So this really interesting, Michael, you know, this whole promising playwright, because you are actually, your play, Froyo, is going to open. It's like kicking off the event, isn't it?
No, it's number four.
Oh, it's number four? Okay, mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I scared you there. All
no,
right.
Totally fine.
So it's great that you've had a chance then to work on it here during JAW.
Yeah, it's been quite a process. We came in, and the first 2 days were just kind of introductory things. So we met everyone. We got to listen to Clarence's play along with the other three.
And have you enjoyed playwriting? Is that something you would continue?
Oh, yes. it's been a really big thing for me, especially these last 2 years. I got a chance to write for our school's annual New Works Festival. And so that was exciting. And ever since then, I've been writing a lot. And hopefully I get a chance to pursue it further, college and beyond. But I really love it. It's been cool. This week has been super intense. We've been writing nonstop for hours on end. I finished a new draft yesterday, and we just got our actors, and it's still going.
It's still going.
It's still a big process.
So when is your play gonna be performing then?
Friday. It'll be on Friday. We have our own
July 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So we'll kick off the event then.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Oh, the whole thing.
Yeah. I thought, am I like dreaming here? So Michael Walsh and the Promising Playwrights, which sounds like a band to me. You might want to consider that. Will be the kickoff event Friday, July 27th at 8 p.m. at the Ellen By Studio for JAW of Playwrights Festival, and all the events are at the Armory, 128 Northwest 11th Avenue. Clarence, so what was your advice for this promising playwright? You know, do you remember the first play you wrote?
Yes. I guess my advice, because Michael told me he's going to start college in the fall, is to just take all the classes that you're interested in taking, even if you don't think they relate to theater. To just follow whatever nerdish pursuit you have, because that will only develop your individual voice, which will come out in your writing.
Rose, do you abide by that advice?
Yes, I tell actors, playwrights this all the time. Everything applies. You know, take your sciences, your maths. It all is part of the big cosmic soup of creativity. You need it all, really.
Where will you be going to college?
I'll be attending University of Oregon down in Eugene.
Yay, that's mine. Yeah, nice. I was there. Yeah, go for it. It's a good school. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I just finished up their whole introduction.
In theater or?
I'm not gonna be pursuing theater right away. I'm going undecided.
Go liberal arts, man. Go for it.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
that's good advice. Find out what the heck you really want to do, mm-hmm. and learn everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So, Rose, you want to tell us about the other three playwrights at the festival?
Sure. I'm going to use a cheat sheet
That's
here.
All right, because that's what it's about. So you've got, let's
We're
start with
kicking
the first
off,
place. Yeah.
Yes, with Three Girls Never Learned the Way Home by Matthew Paul Olmos. And you can...
And that's at 4 p.m.
Yeah, that's at 4 p.m. on Saturday. And you can hop online and look at
each one. Like a one-line description?
It is focused on the friendship of three minority girls who find themselves straddling two different worlds after being bused to a newly integrated school.
Oh, okay. So I think it's newly integrated, so it's not like a history thing.
Right, no, it's newly integrated, so the school has had no... previous experience doing this, so it's
I guess there are some schools like that.
Yes,
huh?
It's all navigating.
Especially
well,
these
it's
days.
A little bit of magical realism.
There
it's
you
something
go.
That he's imagining.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
what can you tell us about Megan Brown's The Tasters?
The Tasters.
And that's at 8 p.m. on Saturday.
Yes,
the 28th.
Tasters is an interesting premise where this rebel government hires these tasters to taste the foods to make sure that they aren't poisoned.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and sort of all the politics that go with that and sort of the anxiety on the job.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want that job.
Yeah, no, that would be
so
hard.
So there are a group of people that are
a group of women
tasting,
that are all tasters.
Tasting food.
And it's about, you know, power and complicity and pleasure and food and all
and
of
also danger
things. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow, that sounds interesting. And on Sunday, July 29th, yes, we can see Emily Feldman's play Pick a color at 4 p.m.
Yes, and this play takes place in a beauty salon, and it's sort of this relationship of these three women who sort of converge at this salon on a regular basis, and you know, their own politics and their life. And then there's, I don't really want to reveal the sort of magic moment of it, but it, you know, it's funny sort of slice of life play about, you know, the sexes, and it's not just about getting your nails done, but the premise is in a beauty salon.
That sounds all fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, all good. And then, of course, we have Clarence's play, The Birds of Empathy, mm-hmm, at 8 p.m. Sunday night, closing out the readings portion. I think before we close out Stage and Studio, though, I want to talk a little bit about the workshops being offered, because that's also a great opportunity for writers, all writers, really, mm-hmm, you know, whether you're a playwright or not. I think that, or, you know, you could be an actor, director. So Portland Center Stage also offers these free workshops for some of the playwrights in the, mm-hmm, Community Artist Labs. And Emily Feldman at 1 p.m. on Saturday the 28th is offering a workshop about autobiographical writing. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't know if you want to say anything about any of
that. Well, I don't really know exactly.
Again, that's Kelsey. Yeah. Okay.
Well, also, it hasn't happened yet, so, okay, you know.
And Michael Paul Olmos is exploring, right, writing from the subconscious at noon, mm, on Sunday the 29th. Any other shout-outs you want to do about the offerings? Because there are a lot of performances.
I think there's one of my favorites that was last year. They're called, it's a hip-hop battle that they do. And I think they're
a hip-hop battle?
Yes.
Okay.
Really fun. Strike 9 and 2-8, the Native, on Saturday. In the Groove Dance Battle, 3 to 4, between the shows. It's really fun, and these really amazing dancers come and do a battle. I don't know how exactly they determine who wins, but there does seem to be a method to the madness.
Is there,
you know,
a prize?
I think there is some sort of prize they get.
But the prize is in the process, right?
I suppose, yes. I do believe somebody wins, and they do win something, but I have...
A title.
Yes, I have not a clue. But watching it last year was amazing, how they traded off and their skill was...
What time is that?
That's at? Between... It's 3 to 4, just before the first reading.
Oh, so the very first reading,
yeah,
on,
yeah,
Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Promising Playwrights, we didn't really talk about who else is... Do you know the other teens who are in the Promising Playwrights with you?
I can try. Yeah? I don't know.
Have you had much interaction with each other?
Yeah. We spend the whole day together, basically. I know first names, but last names are...
But each one of them are doing a 10-minute play, and they're all being, like, right before a show.
If I can just interrupt for a second.
So the process is all of these Promising Playwrights come out of our Visions and Voices program, and they are selected from that program. And then what they do is they rewrite a brand new play through the process. And all of these students have already been through a playwriting program. And then this is sort of the culmination of...
Because they're from all different schools,
yes,
right, Mike?
Mm-hmm. They're from all different schools. And so this is a culmination of their 2 weeks rewriting a brand new play.
It's kind of cool to be able to hang out with other writers your age, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. Seeing, like, how different even just school districts are. Like, getting,
yeah,
to talk to someone from San Barlo, being from Lincoln, it's like, wow, your experience is so different from mine. And I think that throughout this process and throughout, like, our talking in the office space, it's been really enriching for everyone's work, just getting to hear those different points of view.
Well, and something like this can be very bonding for the rest of your life, because you never know where the roads will take you, right?
So yeah,
oh yeah, we did this together, so it's good to have that connection.
Yeah.
So that's good. Good. Kudos to you. Mm-hmm. The 20th annual JAW, a Playwrights Festival, runs July 27th through the 29th. And Portland Center Stage at the Armory presents 4 stage readings of new scripts. the promising playwright scripts and workshops and on-site performances throughout the weekend. And all events are at the Armory at 128 Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland. And for more information, you can go to pcs.org/jaw. And I have all that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And I also have the podcast of the show later today in case you just missed it. Any other final words on Jaw, Rose? I mean, 20 years, are you doing a big bash?
Are they going to give you a cake? Well, we are inviting. We actually are going to have a cake. The audience gets to participate eating after the last reading on Sunday. So if you love cake.
Oh, sure, after Birds of Empathy?
Yes, after Birds of Empathy. We're inviting some guest playwrights to come out and spend the weekend with us. And I think, I just want to thank Portland, really, for being supportive. Right off the bat, I really thought it was going to be like 25 people. And, you know, at all the readings, and hundreds of people showed up, and it's been really supported all along. And when our lobby fills up with people waiting to get into the readings, I feel a sense of community and really appreciate the literary mindedness of our citizens here.
Well, and my advice to everybody, because you are not like taking reservations, is to get there early.
Yep, start lining up.
Because it does fill up.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that must feel really good. It's like, oh, there's so many people. Because it's a, you know, it's a pretty big space, mm-hmm. you know, to fill up. So that's awesome. And congratulations to you for keeping after it for 20 years.
Thank you.
You know, the years do fly by, though, I'll tell you, because we've known each other a long time. And
long time.
That's as long as I've been doing this show, so...
Yeah, it's
we're hanging in there, Rose.
I appreciate it, and it's also
mind-boggling at the same time.
Yes, I hear you.
Well, my thanks to Rose Reardon, Clarence Koo, and Michael Walsh. Thank you for joining me live today on Stage and Studio, and kudos to you all, and have a great weekend.
Thanks to me.
Oh, thank you.
Well, that's it for Stage and Studio. My thanks to engineer Ray Bodwell. You can hear this again at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Don't forget to like us on facebook.com/stage_n_studio or tweet me at @stage_n_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.